Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm excited about a new friend joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Ovik Roy is with us. He's a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. He's part of their healthcare policy division over at Manhattan Institute, and he writes on healthcare matters quite a bit. He's here today to talk to us about some of the healthcare positions and platforms that the lead candidates in the GOP primary process that we've got going on right now, what their positions are in healthcare. And he's with us right now, Ovik Roy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for watching. How are you?
It's doing great. It's good to have you here, Ovik. We know about Romney's healthcare history. Some would call it baggage in Massachusetts. I know a pretty good bit about it. I actually heard him give a speech one time where he explained how it was originally designed and what it was intended to do and how it turned out, which was not exactly how it was intended to be. A lot of people, though, may not be as familiar with Newt Gingrich with his healthcare issues. So one of the things you've pointed out recently is that Newt Gingrich has just as much, maybe even more, healthcare baggage as Romney does. What do you think?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, you know, what's funny is that the thing that people hold against Romney the most is this Massachusetts healthcare law, which was the model for Obamacare.
Right.
But yet, Newt Gingrich has advocated policies that are far worse than what Romney advocated in Massachusetts. So, for example, Gingrich has advocated and continues to advocate to this day a federal individual mandate, which requires every American to buy health insurance. And
which is the fundamental issue that the Supreme Court is going to take up next spring.
That's right. So, I mean, in my mind, it's completely obvious that an individual mandate is unconstitutional. I mean, if the federal government can force you to buy health insurance, it can force you to do anything. It can force you to buy the New York Times.
That's the issue, you know? Hopefully will be decided, or at least one way or the other, by the Supreme Court with regard to whether it violates the Constitution's Commerce Clause, right?
Right, but I mean, I think what's really shocking is that Gingrich has, you know, Gingrich, who's, you know, considers himself this great conservative leader, he's advocating an unprecedented expansion of federal power, the power for the government, the federal government, to force you to buy something that it deems to be socially valuable.
But now, is this something that he has as part of his current platform? Are these just some of his many, many endless ideas that he's tossed out there over the years?
No, so this is something that he's advocated this year. So he's tried to portray it in the debates as if, well, I only advocated this back in 1992 when I was just trying to come up with some insincere tactical way of opposing Hillary Care, and mm-hmm. this was an idea that we floated out there to stop Hillary Care, which in and of itself has problems. Like, you're going to support something that's completely unconstitutional just for political reasons. But we'll leave that aside. But today, you know, again, as recently as May, he's given speeches about this, where today he says, well, I still think that there should be a law requiring everyone to buy health insurance, or you should have to post a bond for your future health expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he tries to make that sound like that's not a real individual mandate. But the opposite is true. Actually, the mandate that Gingrich advocates is tougher than the one in Obamacare. So in Obamacare, if you don't buy health insurance, you have to pay a fine that's collected by the IRS for
right.
your tax returns of like you know, it goes up over time. In the beginning, it's like $80. In the end, it's like $700. If you had to post a bond for your health expenses as opposed to, you know, paying that little fine, you're talking about thousands upon thousands of dollars, possibly $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Who, you know, if you can't afford to buy health insurance or you think the health insurance plans out there are a ripoff, posting a $30,000 bond is a lot harder than paying $500.
Ovik, I don't think we should should wring our hands over some idea, some specific idea that that Gingrich or Romney has. I think the issue here is that both of them seem to be focusing on is the fact that we have a lot of people who won't buy health insurance, and this was the driving factor behind RomneyCare. A lot of people in Massachusetts wouldn't buy health insurance at all, and they became a burden on taxpayers by just dropping into to the emergency room when they needed help, even though they could probably afford to have the coverage. They were basically abusing the system, and that's what gave rise to RomneyCare. And isn't that one of the big issues here?
Yeah, so you're very right, Jim, to bring that up, and I think that was definitely a big part of the impetus for what Romney advocated in Massachusetts. It turns out, however, that while you know it was well intentioned in that regard, what Governor Romney was trying to do, it turns out that there are a number of it doesn't turn out to actually be that way.
Yeah.
So the people who are the big chunk of the people who are using the emergency room are not even so much the uninsured, but people on Medicaid, who, again, because
yeah.
they're on
well,
Medicaid.
Well, that's a whole other issue. I mean, that's another kettle of fish altogether. The thing that basically made RomneyCare unworkable in, as it turns out, in Massachusetts, is when the plan was developed, the Massachusetts Democrat legislature put all the mandates back into the bill, which made it financially unworkable with all the mandates.
And Romney tried to veto some of those.
Yeah, and so that's what happened to that. But all right, so we've sort of set the table here. We come back. Folks, you know how I feel. I've been talking for 14 years since I've been doing this show about market-based solutions to healthcare. We can do it. We need to get both parties to focus on market-based solutions so you and I can make our own individual decisions without the government being involved in our healthcare decisions. And I'm going to get Ovik Roy's observations on that. After these messages, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.